Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to the Minnesota Report Call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, there will be an opportunity for live questions and comments. Instructions will be given at that time. As a reminder, this call is being recorded. I would now like to turn the conference call over to our host, Ben Dahlman, on behalf of Renewable America. Ben, please go ahead.
Well, thank you very much, and thank you, everybody, for joining us today. We're very excited to share the findings of the Powering Up Minnesota report on the economic benefits of renewable electricity development report. It's being produced by Renewable America in collaboration with David Gardner and Associates, and I think does a great job of highlighting the positive economic impact of renewable energy on the Minnesota economy. Joining us today will be Ryan Hodum. He's the Vice President of David Gardner and Associates, and he'll be able to explain key findings from the report. We're also joined by John Neville, who's the Regional Director for Ameresco, whose company had a lead role in the development of the Minneapolis-St. Paul Solar International Airport Solar Project. And we're also joined by Dustin Dennison, President of MNSEA, the Minnesota Solar Energy Industry Association. He can give a good overview of what he's seeing in, as trends in the renewable electricity industry in the state. So I'm going to give each of our three speakers an opportunity to talk a little bit about the report and the renewable economy in the state of Minnesota and what they expect to see going forward. And I think we'll open it up to questions from reporters. So I think without further ado, I'd like to hand the proverbial microphone over to Ryan and let him tell you a little bit about the report he compiled.
Great. Thanks, Ben. Welcome, everyone. So our report examines the current and potential economic benefits of developing renewable power and the potential capacity in Minnesota by 2030. For our analysis, we look at each of the six major renewable electricity technologies: biomass, geothermal, hydroelectric power, solar, waste to energy, and wind, all of which are already providing a substantial amount of clean and affordable and reliable energy across the country. We modeled the economic effects of a renewable electricity future in Minnesota based on data from the National Renewable Electricity Laboratory's Renewable Electricity Futures Study, which is, to date, we think, the most comprehensive analysis of a high penetration renewable energy future for the U.S. And we found in our analysis that Minnesota has, in fact, enough renewable resources to provide over 50% of the state's energy needs by 2030. Maximizing the state's potential, our analysis finds that Minnesota can far exceed the EPA's proposed Clean Power Plan, which calls on the state to reduce carbon emissions by 2030, and the state's renewable electricity standard, which calls on a 25% renewables by 2025 target through the increased use of renewable energy. Our report looks at a high growth and a low growth set of scenarios for renewables deployment in the state. The high growth side essentially is maximizing Minnesota's total potential. And the low growth is, in essence, staying on the current path, you know, the status quo. And under both scenarios, we found there's a positive economic impact to Minnesota, including jobs in terms of job creation and increased wages and benefits, and also in terms of an injection of money into the state in terms of tax revenue and land leasing revenue. So I'm going to turn it back to Ben so that some of our speakers from the business community can speak to some of the impacts in the private sector, and I'm happy to answer any other more detailed questions on our report. So thank you, Ben.
No, thank you, Ryan. And so next we have John Neville from Ameresco. I'd like to chat a little bit about the project his company worked on at the, or is still working on at the Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport.
Well, thank you, Ben, and everyone for joining this morning. Just a little bit about Ameresco. We're a full-service energy conservation company that also is involved with renewable energy, such as solar photovoltaic. We're very excited to be working on the local project here at the Minneapolis Airport, which actually serves 33 million passengers annually. We were selected from a RFP process from the airport, who is very much into sustainability for the airport. There was about 30-plus companies that responded to the RFP, and Ameresco was the selected party for that project, so we're very pleased. It turns out that this project is it's 3 megawatts. It's going to be the largest solar project at this point in time in Minneapolis, or in Minnesota. And 3 megawatts at the airport translates into about a little bit over 20% of the total peak power requirements of the airport. So it's a fairly substantial project. The project there is actually on 2 of the 4 parking ramps at Terminal 1, which is the main terminal at the airport. And at the very top of the ramps, on basically 9 stories each, we're going to install the 3 megawatts on those 2 parking ramps. In addition to the solar PV, we're actually upgrading. There's actually 4 parking ramps at Terminal 1 at the airport. We're upgrading the current parking ramp lighting from its current to high-efficiency LED lighting throughout the 4 parking ramps. And in addition to that, we're actually installing some electric vehicle charging stations at those 4 ramps. So it's a combination project, solar PV, photovoltaic, LED lighting, and electric vehicle charging station. And it turns out that the whole project itself is going to be creating about 250 jobs at the airport. We're using local companies for the project. One of the companies supplying the solar PV panels is 10K Solar here in the state of Minnesota. The electrical contractor to install all of this equipment, Hunt Electric. The LED lights are being supplied by Cooper Lighting, which is a subsidiary of Eaton Corporation here in Minnesota. And the total project is actually financed by Thrivent Financial with offices here in Minnesota. And construction has already started. We did our groundbreaking back in October this year, and we're anticipating final construction ending this coming October 2015. And the project is very cost-effective. It actually has, not only does it self-fund for its project cost, but over the estimated life of the project, 30 years, it's going to be producing a $10 million net present value for the airport itself. So bottom line cash flow to the airport over the 30-year estimated time frame. And one of the key aspects of all of energy efficiency and renewables is greenhouse gas reduction. So on an annual basis at the airport, it's going to provide 6,800 metric tons of greenhouse gas reduction. So that's just a real brief overview of the project. Be able to take questions later on, and let me turn it back to Ben.
Thank you. Thank you very much, John. And then I think finally, last but certainly not least, we have Dustin Dennison, who's the president of MNSEA. And Dustin, I'd like to hear your perspective on where the solar industry in the state has been and where it's going, and talk a little bit about renewables in general.
Well, thank you, Ben, and also thank you to our reporters and listeners online. You know, I got to say, we're really excited here with MNSEA. And again, my name is Dustin Dennison, president of MNSEA. We are the industry trade group representing 60 different organizations, everything from labor groups to manufacturers to distributors to developers and installers. And, you know, we've been on the front line, we've been at the Capitol, we've been engaged in the policy work here in Minnesota, and we think we have a lot of exciting news to share. And this report really starts to quantify the opportunities of this this 2013 legislation and some of the bills that have preceded it. In full disclosure, I'm also a business owner. I have two businesses, Applied Energy Innovations and Minnesota Community Solar. And so my perspective I'm giving you is both as president of MNSEA and also what we're seeing from businesses being on the ground floor and then the development. One of the things I want to touch point on is, as we're all aware, renewable energy is becoming more and more affordable. We're seeing production costs come down. We're seeing transactional costs come down, the soft costs. You know, there has been a ton of work in this field, in this industry, that has allowed us to look at every aspect of how do we continue to drive costs down in an economic, reasonable, and social fashion. And I think what we're looking at is the results that are coming forward. It also puts pressure here on our local manufacturing. I want to talk just briefly, you know, about the opportunities we have here in Minnesota. We have over 100 businesses that are engaged in the global supply chain of solar manufacturing, including, again, installers, including distributors. That's 100 companies that are adding thousands, if not tens of thousands of jobs to the local economy here in Minnesota. And we see that growing. As the report states, on the high-end renewable scenario, we could have up to 35,000 additional jobs, $2 billion more in wages and benefits. And if we look at, you know, the power of this 2013 legislation and what it's done, is we are creating jobs, we are creating local economic development, and we're seeing that across the board from small communities to large to rural communities. And that really is, it's the result of good public policy. So I think, you know, moving forward, what I'm seeing from MNSEA, when we look at what our goals were in the next 6 years in terms of the policy end and job creation, you know, we're going from $187 million industry here in Minnesota to over $1 billion industry in the next 5 years. We're looking at numbers, you know, as the Solar Energy Standard 1.5% mandate put out approximately 400 to 450 megawatts as a requirement. When you start to translate that into dollars and into projects, you know, that's going to change a lot of dynamics throughout the state. And it's going to add, again, jobs. It's going to add local infrastructure, local economic development. So, you know, realistically, you know, coming from a state that probably, you know, 2-3 years ago, we had 10 megawatts cumulative installed across the state, to an industry that's now going to ramp up to 450 megawatts. You know, that's a ramp up scale of almost 60 megawatts a year each year. And if we're looking at that, meeting that SES in 5 years, you know, what I'm seeing from the development perspective is basically, if you look at all the projects that have been penciled right now, we're probably close to about 200 megawatts in development in the last 8 months to a year. And that's very significant from where we were 2 years ago. I think that that's a clear indicator, a sign that Minnesota is a beacon in the Midwest. We've led on our policies. We've led on our investments and our development structure here. And, you know, we're very excited about what the next 12 months is, let alone the next 5 years, where we're going to see this market. And again, it's, you know, it's seeing these historic projects that are coming out of the ground, such as Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport. You've got community solar gardens that are going to be an incredible boom to the industry. And I think what we're also seeing is, fundamentally, as more renewables come online, it gives the marketplace more opportunity and more options as we begin to democratize energy. And I think that's a very powerful statement. When we democratize energy and we put it out there as another alternative to fossil fuel, to nuclear, to wind, it really starts to open up the doors and opportunities and how people see the future and where they see their electricity being generated. So again, you know, I want to thank, you know, all the attendants today, and I want to turn it back over to Ben.
Well, great, and thank you for that great review of where Minnesota is and where it looks to be going. I guess with that, we'll want to open it up to questions. So if the operator would please go ahead and open the lines. I'd like to hear what folks are curious about.
Absolutely. If you would like to ask a question or have a comment, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad now. This will place your question in the order it was received. Again, that is star 1 if you would like to ask a question. All right, gentlemen, I don't have any questions in the queue at this time.
Okay. So I guess I'd be interested to hear maybe a little bit more from our folks just about, you know, and especially for those of our folks on the call who actually are running companies, you know, in terms of renewable energy growth, can you give me maybe some stories about the folks you've been able to hire with the growth we've seen in the state?
Yeah, I could speak to that. You know, as a matter of fact, it's interesting. We were end of our year going through our bookkeeping, and you know, wearing my Applied Energy Innovations hat, you know, we've been able to grow our staff and grow our field crews exponentially. I'm last night we were looking at essentially four three-ring binders that are each about probably, if you can imagine, a 2 or 3 inch three-ring binder. Completely full, that has been our timesheets from our staff for the last year. And so we've got each quarter now completely filled. That's a huge growth from where we were last year. And, you know, I'm excited to be a part of that process of hiring people, and I'm excited to be a part of the process in the future, being able to be in the role of job creation. And, you know, kind of my other comment is, you know, as we see, not just for myself as a business owner, but looking at the new companies coming in, just this morning, iTech Energy was in our office talking about their manufacturing facility in South Minneapolis and Longfellow, and talking about their projections anywhere from 1 to 2 megawatts of production coming off of their line. What we've seen from an industry in terms of that job growth is two new Minnesota-made manufacturers opening up shop this year. So that's exciting to see. And again, it's job creation, local economic development. And I'm sure that John can share those experiences and stories.
Yeah, John, any thoughts on that?
Well, sure. A couple comments that, you know, so being an energy conservation renewable company here in Minnesota, we're seeing a lot of opportunity and interest from some of our typical customers, which would be school districts, universities. We do a number of projects with various state of Minnesota facilities, and we're just seeing a lot of interest and requests for us to investigate and put proposals together for solar PV, renewables, and then obviously energy conservation. So we've seen a pretty drastic uptick following what Dennis's comments are in our activity in the last few years here.
Perfect. Great. Well, I'm going to ask the operator for any questions that have come along the pike.
Yes, we actually do. So we'll go ahead and take our first question coming from Elizabeth. Elizabeth, please go ahead.
Hi, this is Elizabeth Dunbar from Minnesota Public Radio. I was just wondering, you know, how confident you are from doing this analysis that that increasing renewables will impact greenhouse gas emissions in Minnesota to the point that we need to do so. Obviously, electricity isn't the only thing generating those emissions. So can somebody just address that, please?
Maybe, Ryan, is that something you can speak to?
Hey, Ben, sure. Thank you, Elizabeth. Great question. So I'd say two things as we've developed the analysis for this report. We based our economic modeling off of calculations from National Renewable Energy Lab, which actually calculated the mix of renewables and other technologies in the state based on the lowest cost, lowest total system cost. And we think in terms of what that means in terms of the impact on greenhouse gas emissions, we'd say that the EPA, in terms of their proposed clean power plant rule, was, I think, conservative in setting their proposed targets for each of the states. And, you know, in our analysis, we think there's, you know, high level of confidence that renewable energy actually can achieve a much larger amount than is initially envisioned by the EPA in their proposed rule.
Am I on? Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I didn't know if my line was open. Yeah, I was just, I should have been more specific. Minnesota has its own greenhouse gas emissions goals that include more than just electricity. So the EPA's clean power plan is specifically for the power plants, but our state has some other goals as well that look at sort of the cumulative emissions. So I don't know if you had anything that you wanted to add on that, but I just thought I would make myself clear there.
No problem. It's a good question. We don't include that specifically in the report, but I'd be happy to follow up offline if it's helpful.
Okay, thanks for that.
Sure.
And again, as a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, that is star one on your telephone keypad.
Okay, well, I think we're maybe waiting for another question or two. Ryan, be I think interesting for folks kind of you dive a little bit more into the methodology of the report and it's, I think that, and then also talk a little bit about how the dropping cost of renewable energy is sort of playing into your assumptions and your forecast.
Sure. So I think I mentioned only half of the methodology for our analysis. So the overall estimate for the amount of growth that the state will see in terms of renewable energy, that's based on data from the National Renewable Energy Lab's Renewable Electricity Futures Study. We took that as the input to our modeling, and we also used another National Renewable Energy Laboratory tool called the Jobs and Economic Development Impact Model, which allowed us to look at these renewable electricity technologies and estimate the economic impacts of the growth that the NREL report concluded as possible for Minnesota. And so that's what allowed us to estimate things like the job creation figures, the increases in wages and benefits, the investment side of the equation being, you know, the increased tax revenue and land leasing revenue. And I'd say, you know, we haven't mentioned it on the call, in part, I think, because a lot of our speakers represent, you know, the good news that's coming out of the solar industry in particular. But I would say that, you know, when it comes to things like land leasing revenue and tax revenue, actually the expected increases by the wind industry in Minnesota will be a huge source of that total figure that you see included in our report. So it's a little bit more about the methodology. Happy to answer any questions folks have on that. And Ben, to your second point, we've actually checked back. You know, we've tried to, you know, ground truth the outcomes of the model that the National Renewable Energy Laboratory found. And our finding here is that basically, you know, the assumptions that were built into the model have underestimated, you know, the very real cost reductions that we've seen in recent years for wind and solar. And so I guess the way to make sense of that is just to conclude that, you know, even in our high renewable scenario, we think those numbers are conservative, given the fact that costs for wind and solar in particular, but also the other renewable electricity technologies just keep dropping so rapidly. That wasn't anticipated in the model.
Great. Great. Any questions from the folks on the call?
Again, as a reminder, that is star one on your telephone keypad.
Okay. Well, it looks like we're running up here on the half hour, so I don't want to take any more of folks' time. I'll just say thank you again to all of our speakers, and thanks, everybody, for joining. We'll be sending out a full copy and release of the report to folks this afternoon, and I'll have my contact information in that email. So any questions, please route that through me, and appreciate everybody's time, and have a great day.
Thank you, and that will conclude our call for the day.
Thank you.